throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal, glad to have you along for the next hour. We got plenty to talk about, most notably the Thunder. We'll get to that right off the top of the show at the end of the show. It's a major this week, Jared.
I know.
PGA Championship. Man, there are some crazy odds. Just to show you that some of these guys haven't been playing very well. We go through that. Valhalla is the site in Louisville, Kentucky.
If you need tickets, I know a guy.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've told you about this.
You have. I don't think I can make it to Louisville this weekend.
I'm helping him out, so if anybody wants to go, he's looking to unload him cheap.
Louisville.
I think he just wants what he paid for him.
Which, if I remember right, was pretty... At Southern Hills, it was decently
expensive. I don't remember why he got him. Maybe he thought he could go or when he got him. But he's been pushing him hard. And now lately, him and his wife are like,
it's almost panic mode.
We got to get rid of these.
We'll take something for him.
You know what else is this weekend?
What?
I mean, we got a major. Mm-hmm. We have a major horse race,
too. Is it Preakness?
The Preakness is this Saturday. Week. I have some invested interest in this one.
How come?
My wife's uncle is part of a group that is an owner of one of the horses that's going to run.
Which one?
Something gray.
Something gray.
Let me look it up. I didn't know this till Sunday. Seize the gray.
Like SEIZE? Like seize property?
Yep. 15-1 odds. Anyways.
Now, wait a minute. Is he involved with Dwayne Lucas?
I was just told all this.
He's
stuff.
In the ownership group, not the trainer. So Dwayne Lucas is training this horse.
He's the trainer. But the group, I'm sure it's a large amount of people. You know, you can invest in a horse and just kind of be a silent partner.
Mm-hmm.
But he plans to go, though, which is kind of cool.
See, I'll be honest with you. If I was going to go to one of the Triple Crown races, this would be the least desirable for me.
Why is that?
It's in Baltimore.
You wouldn't want to go to Baltimore, eat some crab?
Not really. I've seen too much of that show, The Wire. Did you ever watch The Wire?
A little bit, yeah.
Baltimore looked like a pretty sketchy place.
Yeah.
Pimlico.
The racetrack. Nice. I'm sure. Isn't that that's the biggest real?
Nah.
No, that's the last one.
Yeah. As far as the race, this is the shortest race.
Oh, okay. I got him.
Isn't that right? Kentucky Derby's in the middle. This is the shortest race, and then the Belmont is for sure the longest.
Would you have any desire to go to like the Kentucky Derby?
It is very next on my list.
Is it really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've said that too.
Turns out I like to hobnob with the rich folk.
Every time
Masters and then Kentucky Derby.
Every time I see it on TV, and I always think that'd be like really fun to go to. My mom really loved the Kentucky Derby. Her sisters did. My grandmother, her mother loved. They would get together, put on the hats, and watch it.
My father-in-law had a party with all his
exactly,
hats just
yeah.
the other day. Yes, I would love to go to Kentucky Derby.
It's one of those, this is like an off-season conversation we can have when things slow down, but, and we've had it, where bucket list type of stuff. And I've told Allie, listen, when we retire and we got nothing to do, we should make a point, like once a year we find an event. It doesn't have to be sporting either, just an event that we want to
go to.
Kentucky Derby would be on that list. Like, this is the year we're going to go to the Kentucky Derby.
So it's PGA and the Preakness. Valhalla, that's where the PGA is going to be contested.
No, I'm not familiar. You are. Have they hosted before?
Yeah, the winners were decent.
What's that?
The winners that Valhalla has produced
were
decent. Tiger in 2000 and Rory in 2014, which this is the last time Rory won a major. It was in August of 2014. August then, May now. Do you like the way they switch it around here? Because now we got a major 4 straight months. See, it used to go, you know, they had moved the players from March to May. So you'd have Masters, you'd skip May, then have U.S. Open in June, British Open in July, and the PGA used to be the last major of the year in August. They moved the players back to the original spot in March, which opened up May, which now here we are with the PGA in May. We'll talk about that change. I actually love it because it just goes boom, 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 boom. And isn't it weird that, at least to me, and maybe it doesn't feel like this to you, I mean, the PGA Championship is the best field in golf. If you look at the official World Golf Rankings, mm-hmm. they're the one that lets all these live guys in. They get the top 50 in the world. I mean, it literally is because of the lack of qualification almost, where they can just invite guys. It's the best field in golf, but it also feels like the least prestigious of the 4 majors. Or at least to me it does. I wonder, those two things shouldn't jive, right? And then NCAA regional golf round 1 yesterday, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State out in Rancho Santa Fe, California. We'll tell you how they fared. 2 more rounds, try to make it into nationals. And then it's just going to be basketball. Thunder, 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 thunder. We'll talk about last night's game. How in the world did Oklahoma City win that one? What changed to allow them to win, both offensively and defensively? Is there more adjustments that can be made to make it easier on themselves? Is that the best win of all time in the playoffs for the Oklahoma City Thunder franchise? Some other ones that might be on that list. And then we can talk about the other series. A couple of game fives tonight with series tied 2-2. And doesn't it feel like Boston has a major advantage in the finals over whoever they play because of kind of the breeze that they're going to have through the East versus the absolute battles that are going to occur in the West? So that's what we got on our mind. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of that. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. You can log on to kadsam.com, or you can download the app. The app has it all. It's got all the radio. It's got the Penny News. You can check out a brand new copy online at midnight tonight, thepennynews.com. The brand new one hits the socials, hits the web. And, of course, Big Elk and TV, Big Elk and Paragon TV, both there in the app during the high school sports season. We'll be doing graduation for Elk City, by the way, Big Elk TV. So that'll happen. We've got to go set that up with Danny.
When?
Here in the next couple of days. I don't know.
When's the graduation?
Saturday, 4 o'clock. I'll be there.
Good.
Don't worry about it. I'll be there.
I'll be in Edmond, bro.
Yeah. No, you won't. Here, I'll be there.
No, my phone will be off.
No, it won't. No, it won't.
It'll be inaccessible. It'll be used to film softball.
No, that's wrong. You're going to have somebody else from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock have somebody else's phone up.
Sorry about your luck, bro.
Yeah, that's, well, we can't say what that is on the air.
Point the camera. Yeah, this press
is,
stream.
Honestly, just as long as you can hear it, this one's pretty easy. At the end of the day, right?
I'll be streaming Canutes on Friday night. That makes you feel any better.
There you go. Let's see. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed our show entirely, you can find it wherever podcasts drop. Before we get going, Jared, this is a very special day in the lives of one of our favorite listeners. I'm talking about.
We got a lot, so that.
Yeah, really this helped. Is one of our favorite young ones. And it is Willa Mae. Willa Mae Red.
Yeah?
Happy birthday to Willa Mae Red.
How old?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. I'm going to say 8, 7 or 8. Going to be my guess.
Cool.
I should have asked her mom. We'll probably have the answer here in just a second. But Willa Mae's birthday is today. So happy birthday to Willa Mae. She is a softball player. 9.
9 today. She was 8. She is 9 right now.
Awesome.
So happy birthday, Willa Mae. Happy, happy birthday, Willa Mae.
Love celebrating birthdays.
Absolutely.
We celebrated, we had a little baby shower last night. So I got some cookies.
Okay.
That's why I like birthdays and baby showers. Get the food, cookies and cake.
I like all those things. Cookies and cake. What's your favorite cookie?
The classic chocolate chip.
Just the old chocolate chip.
It has to be warm. Warm and chewy. Like right out of the oven.
So Aunt Dita makes unbelievably good chocolate chip cookies. Like some of the best I've ever had, if not the best.
Now, if you're talking about pre-packaged stuff, Oreos.
No. I'm talking about made cookies. Like somebody
made the Oreo.
Yeah, but not really. Those are not homemade, Jared. Now, if somebody makes an Oreo, then tell me how they did it.
I would be interested to see how that's done.
You know what I have seen? So the women at the FBC Sayre, First Baptist Church Sayre, they would put on, it was called, it was like sweets and treats or something like that. There was three categories of pies, cakes, and cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One year, and in the cookie category, somebody made homemade oatmeal cream pies.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty fantastic.
Homemade
oatmeal. Homemade oatmeal cream pies.
Man, that's an underrated snack. I always forget about those. Wow. And they were good?
They were good.
Delicious?
They were very good.
Awesome.
Oh. Speaking of the birthday girl, Jared, you need to be nice tonight at 8 o'clock. Apparently, you're playing Willa Mae tonight at 8. So be nice. Take it easy.
Elkettes?
Guessing, yeah. Take it easy there, Jared.
Well, it might be Katie's turn in the rotation.
Willa Mae. I mean, it's her birthday, so, you know, groove one. Nothing better than a home run on her birthday, Jared.
Well, good luck.
Just saying. I like the old fashioned chocolate chip cookie. Will said his pant sizes went up two sizes eating those chocolate chip cookies over the years from Aunt Dina. I like a chocolate cookie.
Yeah.
With the peanut butter chips.
Oh, no, that's good. That's a good one. Peanut butter is good.
I like the chocolate cookie with the peanut butter chips.
I did, because I'm curious now, I did find a recipe for homemade Oreos.
Oh, you got to make them.
They look good.
This has got to be a thing. Get us some homemade Oreos.
I am intrigued by this. I'm going to forward this to my wife and say, you think we could do this? I mean, it's getting great reviews. Huh. I'm just trying to see.
Give us an idea how you make that icing.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Powdered sugar.
The
milk.
The thick filling. It looks like... clearly, they whip it up. I'm trying to find the ingredients here. Just bear with me. I'm not finding it. We'd be here all day. But cream filling. Okay, you're going to use quarter cup of unsalted butter, vegetable shortening, confectioner's sugar, pure vanilla extract.
That seems pretty simple.
Sure, you just whip it up.
Yeah. That's pretty easy.
Cocoa powder for the cookie. All-purpose flour, cocoa powder, baking soda, salt, unsalted butter, granulated sugar, brown sugar, an egg, pure vanilla extract again. I'm not sure. These look like they're like no bake. I don't know. No, you'd have to bake the cookie.
You'd surely
anyways,
have to bake the cookie.
Anyways, I'm going to try
and then
this.
Just smear it on there.
I'm 100% doing this.
Hey, did you know there used to be a different... Like Oreo, like the brand Oreo,
mm-hmm.
was not the original chocolate with icing sandwich cookie.
Was it the vanilla one?
No, Hydrox.
What?
Called Hydrox. It was the exact same cookie.
Okay.
Looking. It was the two chocolate sandwich with the icing in the middle.
Uh-huh.
You know why Oreo began to dominate and now dominates the market? You know what their secret was?
What?
They made a deal with none other than Hershey's to use their chocolate in their cookie.
In their cookie.
And people had gotten so, fallen so in love with Hershey's that it tasted more like what they were used to chocolate tasting like. And then Oreo took over the market from Hydrox. And if you don't believe me, you can watch it on Food That Built America.
Yeah, I believe that's where you got that.
That's exactly where I got that. Okay, last night, Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm still not 100% sure how that happened. It was a rough first three quarters to watch, especially offensively for the Thunder. The one thing that they did start to do in the third quarter that I think probably will go overlooked just a little bit was they started to really defend the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. To the tune of only giving up 15 third quarter points, which allowed them to pull back within four going into the fourth. And then Shea just started making shots at about the 6 minute mark. I think the Thunder were down seven. I think it was 82 to 75, not 57. And then it was like Shea makes a bucket, Shea makes a bucket, Shea makes a bucket. J-Dub hits one, Shea in the bucket. And then Cason Wallace with a couple of just monster threes. And then it was one of those games, even when they're up 96-91 with what, a minute left, I still wasn't sure they were going to be able to hold on. Like, it never seemed like a game they were going to win until Gilgeous Alexander makes the two free throws to make it 100-96 with a second left. And then at that point, you're like, okay, this game really is over. Oklahoma City has got this thing tied 2-2. How did that happen?
Well, without the X's, breaking down the X's and O's of it, I go to character, and it's resiliency of keeping it close. As I know, we got the double digits, but the way they whittled away at it in the latter parts of the third and fourth quarter, and just chipping away and chipping away, and just staying resilient, making the stops that they needed. And with a little luck sprinkled in there, Luka missing that free throw certainly helped. But I tip my cap to him. That is so big for me anyways, in so many reasons, not just for this series, but for that youth that we speak of being in a game like that on the road, knowing how, now seeing how it's done in the playoffs. And so you have to steal games. You have to. In the playoffs, you can't just blow them all out or win convincingly or comfortably or whatever you call it. You have to steal some. You have to be in those situations. So I say all this because, you know, we could probably go back to this game and next year or the year after, go, listen, they've been in this situation. They know what this pressure cooker feels like. So it's so big. But to answer your question, just to stay resilient, keep shooting. You knew it was also very comforting for me to see SGA have that game in the fourth quarter, because what we talked about in game three, how he looked just kind of tired in the fourth quarter and allowed Dallas to take control and win that one. But the MVP candidate came alive and showed why he was the MVP guy, why he's the budding star, the superstar that he is. So a lot of big things happened for the future of the franchise to me in that game, in particular in that fourth quarter. But they're just so resilient, and that could be a big turning point in this playoff run.
Yeah, just specifically, I thought him not forcing himself down into the paint, stopping and knocking down mid-range jumper after mid-range jumper.
You see that thing, that dagger? I mean, that shot. I mean, it was three quarters down.
Yeah, that allowed Luka to get fouled and then miss free throws. I mean, free throws are a huge part of this. Oklahoma City, 23 of 24, Dallas 12 of 23. But I really thought Shea not continuing on toward the rim, stopping and knocking down, kind of opened everything up. Because then next thing you know, you gotta get out of that painted area just a little bit to try to contest. That opens up an offensive rebounding opportunity. The Thunder were finally able to kind of get out in the open floor and make some baskets. You know, Wallace hit the pull-up three on the right wing. You know, the steal and that led to J-Dub layup to make it 96-91. You know, those were plays in the first half that Dallas was able to get back and contest over and over and over. It finally kind of freed. It just seemed like Shea knocking down those mid-range jumpers, stopping instead of continuing to get shots blocked at the rim, really started to open up the offense. And then defensively, just kind of stayed the course. I don't know. You know, Wallace, what a pick by Presti. That dude, as a rookie, he seemed as ready for the moment as anybody on the team, Shea included, for his role. Mm-hmm. Now, his role wasn't to score every time down the floor like it was for Shea. But, man, he came in a huge block of Kyrie on that three. He was there to contest a bunch of different shots from Kyrie that maybe, you know, he's a little bit quicker and more similar sized, where Dub has a hard time staying with Irving. But he was able to be right there with a hand in his face, contesting and making at least the most difficult shot it could be. I thought Cason Wallace was a huge part of Oklahoma City getting this win in the minutes that he played down the stretch. Another guy that gets all kinds of hell, but Josh Giddey was not terrible. Here's the thing: if he just wouldn't start, mm-hmm. if Dagnall, and it's so weird, we've seen how many different lineups, and he's been a tinkerer all year. And it's so weird that it feels like he's going to die on the Josh Giddey hill. It's not. I don't think anybody's saying don't play him. Just don't play him at the first of the game.
Yeah.
And for the second straight game, he hasn't started the third quarter. And for the second straight game, it's felt like he's made an impact kind of late third, early fourth. That makes sense? You know, it does feel like he's played some pretty good minutes just outside of the first three or four of the game. It seems like such an easy adjustment to make, and it isn't happening. And once again, I mean, the one thing that we both said yesterday that turned out to not quite be right, but the Thunder at some point are going to have to get off to better starts. They cannot just keep on climbing this hill over and over and over. And it's probably simplifying it to say that just pulling Josh Giddey out of the starting lineup is the answer. But I think every number bears out that that is the answer. So for adjustments coming up or continuing to be made, that seems like such an easy one to make and one that's correct. I thought Oklahoma City gave up a bunch of offensive rebounds early. They cut that off toward the end. And a guy that's not going to give near enough credit for what he does for this team. But what about Chet? He battles his tails off. He battles his tail off down there, man. He's kind of on an island as the lone size for Oklahoma City in the paint against, you know, Gafford and Lively. There's a big dudes, mm-hmm. And he just battles his tail off. He grabbed nine rebounds, blocked four shots, and then, oh, by the way, up one with what, 30 seconds left or 20 seconds left, whatever it was, he gets fouled and he goes to the free throw line and makes them both. Knocks them both down.
I had to mute the television and kind of – I was almost kind of like hiding behind my couch. I was pacing that entire, five minutes really of the game, just pacing back and forth and just up and down, sitting and watching and walking and – yeah, those free throws. But he went up there cool and collect and nailed them both. Meanwhile, Luka, before that, flopping around, I think we're going to go to overtime. He's going to hit these. Misses the front end. Now, he's such a cool guy, Chet Holmgren. And I mean cool being in the moment, being very cool for just really his first full, I mean, obviously his first full year in the league. It's awesome to see.
Yeah.
Very awesome to
monster,
see.
Monster. Monster free throws.
I think tomorrow, we'll, you know, we'll really break it down tomorrow morning, but it just feels like a big monkey off their back. They got the split. They swung back home court. I think tomorrow's going to look like a lot like game one.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's ever going to happen again. I know what you mean, though. It does. If there is a phenomenon called momentum, then you would think that would happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think the Thunder would be able to carry that momentum, but we have. It's so the NBA playoffs are so much different than almost anything else. One, it's a series, but it's like there's no carryover. Every game is completely different than the last one in a lot of ways. And it may just be kind of the nature of shooting a basketball. And if it goes in, it goes, you know, I know there are adjustments that are made, obviously, with different matchups and that kind of thing. But it is amazing how much different game is.
But this series, it feels like game two, game three, and even last night up in to the latter part, so it felt like the same game with Washington going crazy, Kyrie and Luka okay, not great, which is what you want. You didn't think Washington would turn into Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson.
I have numbers that tell you it shouldn't.
It's crazy.
Okay, so in the playoffs, PJ Washington is shooting 45.7% on corner threes. 45.7. You know what he shot in the regular season? And it wasn't like it was a small sample size. He shot 116 corner threes in the regular season. You know what he shot?
Percentagely?
Yeah.
28, 25?
24.1%. Yeah, just for reference for the Thunder fans out there, PJ Washington shot 24.1% on corner threes this season. You know what Andre Robertson shot?
Oh,
from
no.
Corner threes?
Oh, no.
28. He shot 4% better.
So this was like if Robertson.
No. Okay, so think of this, too. PJ Washington was on the same team with a guy that Thunder fans cannot stand and finally didn't play last night, Gordon Hayward.
Oh.
He was on the same team until Christmas when Hayward got hurt. Gordon Hayward scored more points in a game than PJ Washington did at his teammates like 11 times.
That's how
Mavericks fans are, you know, we choked it at the free throw line, da-da-da, which is true. 12 of 23, I mean, but also you're getting one of the most monumental turnarounds of all time. And here's the truth. If he wasn't there to score the way he scored, Dallas is cooked.
100%, yes.
Completely cooked.
Yeah.
But he has been. He led him in scoring for the third straight game.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming. And I don't think it continues. I can't see it happening.
It's hard for me to say it's not going to.
Yeah, I know. But going back to Oklahoma City, it's going to be crazy in there in the Paycom. Anytime he touches it in the corner, I think everybody's going to be – I mean, it's going to be crazy. But it's just hard to see it continuing.
The Mavs did finally cool off a little bit from behind the three-point line as that game wore on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he had 21 last night, 5 of 11. Yeah, it's been a complete anomaly, but it happened.
You mentioned in the opener about one of the – I don't know if I'm there yet to say this is one of the greatest games ever.
We're going to talk about that next. One of the best wins of all time in the playoffs for the Thunder. It's Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug Care, you can trust. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Free local delivery. You can drive through and pick your stuff up. Blister Packs are their long-term care unit packaging. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. We'll be back on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
The Skinny on Sports.
That's what I'm talking about.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Guess what else is going on today, Jared?
What else? There's a lot going on today on a Tuesday.
$5 chicken fry special at the Boomtown Grill. You can get a $5 chicken fry, one side, each and every Tuesday down at Boomtown, 2103 South Main here in Elk City. Boomtown is open every day of the week, 11 to 10. Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. Boomtown has a happy hour from 2 to 6, 12 big screen TVs, appetizer plates, drink specials, 11 cold beers on tap, 30 bottles and cans, large wine selection, that house favorite drink, the smoked old fashioned that is Boomtown Grill.
Little breaking news.
What you got?
Just ran across this. A long time head boys and girls golf coach at Clinton, Mike Lee, is retiring full-time.
Okay.
So he will be stepping away from coaching the golf. He was, of course, the football coach. He stayed on to be the golf coach. And looks like he is. This is according to school board agenda that he's turned it in. He's brought home 5 titles for the boys program. I don't think he got one for the girls.
Yeah, they won.
Did they? It's not saying on this little write-up.
They've won at least once. I'm positive they've won at least once on the girls' side. PGA of America has canceled. Canceled the press availability for the rest of the day.
Why that?
Weather.
Oh, is it raining there?
Maybe storming there.
Oh.
People are mad. All right, right before the break, we talked about where this win ranks in the Thunder lore. I think, go ahead and say what you said off the air.
Well, I said it a little earlier, but I think depending on what happens this season and next, I mean, and then moving forward, because that was the big concern about moving into this or with this young team going to playoffs, that there's no experience. They have zero experience in these playoff games. They need that experience. They got it last night. And if someone can go, I think they can go back and go, that was the game where it turned, not turned around, but where it's like that they've been in that situation where now they got a little bit of experience. And that means so much. It's so big. Moving forward, not just for this season, but for next couple seasons, depending on what happens. It's kind of like, you know, hindsight's 20/20. It depends on what could happen. You know, if they're hoisting the Larry O'Brien, not this year, I'm not suggesting that, but soon, people could go, I remember that Mavs series where they were down 2-1, on the cusp of being down 3-1, they somehow found a way to win, stole it, went on to win the series in 6 or 7 or whatever. And that was when it turned around for them. That's when they graduated from being this young team to this contender, to these contenders.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think in prisoner of the moment, you're like, oh my gosh, because there is so much promise built into these Thunder from the youth. How good they already are, how good you think they're going to be, all the picks that they, you know, just the plethora of possibilities.
By the way, 12th pick. We didn't even talk about that. Crazy.
Well, you're talking about Kaysen or J-Dub?
I'm talking about the upcoming of the lottery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That they had the 12th. Yeah.
Now they have the 12th.
But, you know, it's going to get lost in the shuffle if they don't turn into real championship contenders. Even this year. I mean, it'll get lost in the shuffle. But right now, it feels to me like the biggest win of all time for the Thunder. I know that's recency bias from it happening last night, but things look so dire. And to go from, well, they just aren't ready. What do they need? Mm-hmm. How do they – and then – maybe the mistakes that could possibly be made from trying to retool something that didn't necessarily need it. And I'm not suggesting it doesn't need something, because I think in order to, we're going to find out, in order to actually hoist the Larry O'Brien, they're going to need to supplement the roster just a little bit of tweaks. But you're right when you say this is that grow-up moment for a team that, you know, really you think about, and maybe you go back to that like 3 or 4 overtime game in Memphis in 2011 being a similar game to this, where Oklahoma City wins it and they end up punching their ticket into the Western Conference Finals. Ironically, Dallas beats them, but that almost felt like the one of those games that they're arriving. Here they are. This is a really good team, and they're young, but they're standing toe to toe with anybody and everybody that wants it. And the next thing you know, they're in the finals a year later. That's one I think of when I think of those great wins. Another one in Memphis, and this one, it didn't necessarily lead to what we thought it might lead to, but it, in my mind, did keep that thing together longer than it could have. It was game 4 in 2014, ironically, at Memphis, the Reggie Jackson game. You remember that one? Reggie went nuts. And why do I say it kept it together? Because that was when the KD stuff had started. And if Oklahoma City can't beat Memphis in round 1 that year, does KD kind of force his way out before he did after the 2016 season? So that was one that I think was really important, because then, of course, they beat the Clippers the next series, that crazy game 5 in Oklahoma City where the Clippers are up 7 with just under a minute to go, and the Thunder win that game and end up winning game 6. They go to play San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. They can't get that done, but they – were able to, that Memphis game kind of kept everything together in a lot of ways. To me, that might be the most important win. Even though it didn't lead to a title, it kept it, mm-hmm. it kept it together. Like at the time, there was so much swirling around that whole thing of, it's time to break this up, it's not going to work, Memphis is beating them, and Reggie Jackson, of all guys, kind of saved the Thunder for a couple of more seasons. So those are kind of some of the ones I remember. Obviously, you have to throw 2012 Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals, the game that gets you into the only finals appearance that the Thunder have. I mean, that's obviously a huge win in the playoffs for OKC. Those are some of the ones that I thought of after last night's game and what feels like a monumental win.
I mean, nothing. Specifically in each of a game I'm thinking of comes to mind, but the ramifications of a win do, and winning game 3 of the Western Conference Finals, because they were down 0-2 at that point. It showed, okay, we were fine, and then they go on to win it. And then even winning game 1 of the finals, I mean, that's historic within itself. It's just it goes up there as a historically big win for the franchise, winning a finals game. Of course, they didn't lose or didn't win it all, but you know, they came out and won game 1, and I mean, the place was crazy. That was a historic night for not just the city, but the state. Everybody was fine-tuned watching into that game and watching them win against that super team of LeBron and Dwayne Wade and all them, and that was big. But I mean, those are a couple that come to my mind just off the top of my head. And this one last night will go up there. But I mean, we got to see how the rest of this plays out.
That's it. Right now, it feels like it's going to be one of those games you point back to.
And if they come out back home 3-1, down 3-1.
I looked it up yesterday. You know what the odds of the you know what the teams that went down 3-1, you know what their record was to win series?
I guess you can count one hand that actually did it.
No, there's actually a few more than you thought.
Really?
That came back from down 3-1. It was the team that was up 3-1 won the series 258 times and lost 13. So it was a little over 95% that you don't come back from down 3-1. Mm. So yeah, it was
Let's see what happens before we label. And a lot of people, that was the banter this morning on social media, was that was the greatest game I've ever seen for the Thunder. I'm like, okay, pump the brakes. We don't know how. Let's see how big it is when the series is done.
I think a big part of why it's getting that reaction is how dire it felt.
The whole game, it felt dire. That's, yeah.
Well, and stack it up upon game two and game three.
Exactly. I mean, when it started, I thought, here we go again. This is a carbon copy of those first two games, it feels like. Bad starts, and now trying to play catch up, and they keep it close, but are they going to lose it at the end again? This time they figured it out.
Yeah, able to win it at the end. That's a big part of it.
And the key word there, they figured it out. They figured out how to steal one, how to get that big win in the playoffs. That's so big to me.
Yeah.
So big.
Because a lot of series go that way. The team that wins, eventually, when you look back, you go, how the hell did they win that one? And that's what I'm thinking right now. Still to this second, how did that happen? It happened because they just stayed the course, kept on, and finally figured things out, at least in that game. Now, whether or not any of it carries over, who knows? But at least it's a lot different feeling on these airwaves today, tied 2-2, than it would be if you're down 3-1. Other series, two game fives tonight, pivotal game fives. I think it's something like the winner of game five in a series tied 2-2 goes on to win something like 83% of the time. So, you know, Denver and Minnesota, nobody's won a home game yet in that series. Minnesota won two in Denver. Denver returned the favor in Minnesota. Now they're back in Denver tonight for game five. And then also back in the Garden for the exact opposite. Everybody's won home games in that one between Indiana and New York. Who do you give, which road team do you give the best chance to win?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because you think Minnesota's the better team, but you also think they're playing the better team in Denver, right?
And they won the first two games on the road.
They did win the first two.
And then you got the Pacers, who look white hot right now, but they lost their games on the road in New York. But I'll stay with the Pacers, though.
I think I will, too.
I think Nuggets might have figured this out. I'll say Pacers have the best chance to win.
At some point, just the injuries for New York are going to pile up enough to where they're just not healthy enough to play and healthy enough to win in the playoffs. And that leads me to the next, Boston. How big of an advantage does it look like they're going to have right now when it comes to having gas left in the tank for the finals?
Yeah, them losing one out of every, what is it, the pace now? I mean, them losing the other night, that might have been good for them. You always hear that, you know, especially for really young teams. Like, okay, it's good that they lost that game. That woke them up, you know. It feels so easy for Boston. I wonder, do they coast into the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals untested, and then they get knocked in the mouth by, say, a Denver or Minnesota or OKC or whoever? But, it looks pretty cakewalk from this point on for them.
Oh, my gosh. There's already starting to be rumblings of, is this the easiest, especially, well, it almost doesn't matter because Indiana would be a 6 seed. New York would be a banged up 2 seed. I mean, it's the conversation's already started. Is this the easiest path to the finals in NBA history?
So I'll answer that question with another question. Are the Celtics kind of fool's gold because they're not being really tested? They look so good, but is that because there's nobody there to challenge them?
Well, I don't know. The problem is they went 65 games.
Trade the Celtics with, put in Minnesota. Like, let's just trade them. I mean, Minnesota would probably look just as dominant, too, against those opponents.
65 wins in the regular season is
different. Yeah.
You know, they're putting both things on top of each other. Or 64, I'm sorry, 64 and 18. Maybe a little bit, but I don't know.
They're beatable is all I'm saying. They're not.
If Porzingis isn't healthy. If Porzingis is healthy the way he's playing, I don't know if they are beatable. I really don't. But I do know this. They're not going to be nearly as tested as whoever comes out of the West. And then it ain't going to be close. And that could be a good thing for them, and it could be a bad
thing. That's what I'm trying to look at. I'm trying to figure that part out.
We won't know till it happens, and that'll probably be one of those, see, I told you so, after it's overs. But as far as having gas in the tank, you ain't going to have to worry about them wasting much of it on the way to the finals. All right, when we come back.
Cleveland needs Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, and they're not going to get him. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
First and last, baby!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Wrapping her up here. 98.1 FM, B Sports Animal. Big thank you to our friends at Rother Brothers. Right there on Highway 183 north of Clinton. Rother Brothers. It's been a family-owned dealership since 1976. Got a variety of agricultural and outdoor power equipment, and it's second to none. In all of Oklahoma, there isn't a friendlier or more knowledgeable staff than the one at Rother Brothers. Happy to help you find either the perfect piece of equipment or the parts you've been looking for. Check out the products to see what they've got. If you need help in making your selection, call or stop in. Rother Brothers is always ready to help. Phone number 580-323-1981, as I mentioned, right there on Highway 183, just north of Clinton. That is Rother Brothers, Inc. Go visit Mike and the gang at Rother Brothers. Okay, Jared, we're going to have to make a little audible.
Omaha!
Yeah, I don't think we have time for all the PGA stuff I've got written down.
It's Tuesday. We got time.
And I was just sent this text. Did you see what happened in the NFL yesterday?
So Jared Goff got a heck of a deal.
Jared Goff, $53 million a year to be the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. Makes him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
That's the cool story.
What are your thoughts?
I like it for the guy. It's a cool story. Because of where he was. Basically getting cast away by the Rams, and now he's getting paid. Sets a precedent, though. It's going to be interesting what kind of ripple effect that has on the market.
Well, I'll tell you what. If this works for Detroit, here's what they've done. You know, just a couple of weeks back, right before the draft, they locked up Amon-Ra St. Brown to a four-year, $120 million extension. They also locked up tackle Penei Sewell, 4 years, 112. And I mean, obviously, it's a boatload of money. But they also kind of got to dictate what their terms were with those players, as opposed to now, you know, there's a lot of those receivers from Chase to Jefferson to CeeDee Lamb. That St. Brown contract is the baseline now. And so at the end of the day, you know, they've kind of set a market for some of this, and it's going to save them millions in the salary cap because they were the first ones to do it. Jared Goff is really interesting. Number one overall pick by the Rams, led him to a Super Bowl in what, 2019? It didn't fare very well in the Super Bowls. We kind of got Belichicked or whatever. And then you're right, kind of cast aside for Matthew Stafford. Is this going to be one of the very rare trades in sports where both sides go, I'm pretty happy with what happened?
Yeah, I think so. With the already outcome in L.A. and the stock is rising in Detroit. They're in a win now mode.
Sure. And, sure they are.
Yeah.
And he's still, here's the deal. Jared Goff will just be 34 when this deal expires over the next 4 years. So, I mean, he's kind of coming into what you would consider the prime of his career.
Correct. With a quarterback, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, when you first see $53 million in Jared Goff's name attached to it, you think, what are they doing? What in the world are they doing? But I actually think this is a pretty good deal. I really do. The cap is going to explode. I mean, it won't seem like that much here in a couple of years. You know what I mean? It's the way it always goes with a lot of these deals. And of course, the way the contracts are in the NFL, you got to know kind of the fine print as far as when they could move on from him if it doesn't work, and how much it costs him in dead money, and all of that stuff. I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. But I don't think it's as crazy as it would have seemed a couple of years ago. I mean, he threw for 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 12 picks a year ago. First conference title game since 1991. I mean, you know, we have this conversation all the time about Dak. And I would be up in arms if the Cowboys signed him to a similar deal as what Detroit just signed Jared Goff to. And I can't believe that's coming out of my mouth. But Jared Goff also has skins on the wall that Dak Prescott does not have. And that is leading the Rams to a Super Bowl and the damn Detroit Lions to the NFC title game. That's way more impressive than whatever Dak has ever done.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I guess at the end of the day, at some point, you got to maybe realize that the laughingstock is the Cowboys because they're coming upon a lot of these numbers for the longest in a lot of places. So, Jared Goff. 4 years, 4 years to $212 million, 170 guaranteed. Highest paid player in the history of the Detroit Lions. I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it makes total sense.
Yep.
Because it's not like you're hoping. You're re-signing a quarterback that has made it to the Super Bowl. But anyway. Well, contract news.
Hey, for a split second yesterday, I thought OU was about to lose their women's basketball coach. Did you see the news at Iowa?
Iowa ended up hiring longtime assistant.
Yeah.
Jan Jensen.
Lisa Bluter retires. And, of course, Baranchek played at Iowa. So I've always heard that rumblings. If she ever quits, Jenny might get the first call, but it looks like this was set up, and it was a quick hiring from within.
OU baseball game canceled today. Supposed to be at Xavier. That's not going to happen. Real quick on the golf side, the state schools, OU and OSU, out at Rancho Santa Fe, California, for regionals. Through one day, Oklahoma State shot 2 under yesterday. They are in second behind North Florida. Sooners shot 4 over. They are in fourth. Believe top 5 make it after tomorrow. 3 rounds of stroke play, and I believe the top 5 advance on to the national tournament. So if that is, I'll make sure of that before tomorrow. But if that is true, the Sooners are 1 shot ahead of a tie for 5th between San Diego and West Virginia. Top seed in that regional is Arizona State. They're 7th place at +6, but today you'll start to kind of weed that thing out. Ryder Cowan struggled yesterday. 4 over par, drop score. Jay Summey and Ben Lorenz, the best two players for OU, at 1 under apiece. And then Rayan Thomas for Oklahoma State, 3 under. He's in second place individually on what must be a fairly difficult golf course, seeing the scores as high as they are. So that play is just getting underway. Matter of fact, OU just started. OU San Diego and West Virginia just teed off in the second round of that regional. So keep you up to date on that. Some interesting college football stuff I saw yesterday that maybe we can get into at some point with returning production. There's one team that people are sleeping on from a win total and a returning production standpoint, and they reside right here in the state of Oklahoma. Everybody have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.